In our world, a good finisher is usually an expert. A man that can really finish the job. You get somebody doing some wood, work with wood or whatever. When they finished it, if it's a good finish to it, it's an expert. But we as the children of God, we too need to be good finishers. I mean, in my lifetime, I can remember Billy Graham coming to Earl's Court in 1954. I think it was when he first came to England. And as an 18-year-old, I stood, watched people going down the aisle to make commitment to Jesus. And naturally, I cried. I didn't cry in those days. I was butch, you know. I could stand whatever that was coming my way. And I gave as good as I got. And I used to hit first and run fastest. If I didn't run fast enough, I got a good hiding. So I learned to run fast. But a lot of those people that made decisions then, unfortunately, they never continued. They didn't finish the work that was started. But the Lord wants us to be good finishers. Let's read Hebrews chapter 12. Just the first two verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily ensnare us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. To be a good finisher, I believe that we should have a focus. We should be focused on what we are doing. Hebrews 2 says, looking unto Jesus. And quite frankly, through every situation that we face, every trial that we go through, every difficulty that hits our lives, if we keep our focus right, we will see them for what they are. But very often the enemy's lies of difficulties that he tries to send our way, the things he says, they're so near the truth that very often it's hard to tell the difference. And we think, oh, what's going on? But verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. This chapter starts with therefore. I like therefores, because I wonder why it's therefore. And quite frankly, whenever I see it, I look at what's gone on before and what it tells us to do after. And if you read chapter 11, which is the chapter of faith, it's called the chapter of faith, and see what's happening in that book, in that chapter. And then we get this wonderful verse 1 and 2 of Hebrews. And in it, the first thing that caught my eye was looking unto Jesus. These didn't have time to look unto Jesus, yet they were mighty men of faith. They suffered hardship. They suffered going among Daniel in the lion's den. The three Hebrew lads in the fiery furnace, and many other things are actually written in that book in chapter 11. And one of the verses that caught my eye in chapter 11 was, who through faith, this is the people he's talking about, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. The king came out after he put Daniel in the lion's den and said, Daniel, are you all right? Yeah, I had a good night's sleep. Because the lion's mouths were shut by the Lord. It talks about men and women who by faith believed God, even though they went through great hardship. By faith, it says in verse 17, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Can you imagine it? Waiting 100 years for a son. Yeah. And then he's thinking, oh, Ishmael could be the... No, God said, no, in Isaac will your inheritance be? In Isaac is the promise. And then God says to him, give me Isaac. And when they walked toward the mountain, when they were going towards to take the sacrifice, he said to the young man, you stop here. And me and the lad will go on and return. And when they were walking, Isaac says to his dad, hey, we've got the fire. We've got the wood. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, don't worry, son. The Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. Abraham knew what he was going to do. Can you see the submission of Isaac to him as well? Wonder what I would have done, what you would have done if suddenly Abraham had suddenly decided to do what Isaac thought. What are you doing, Dad? I'm your only son. But he was prepared to, because of the focus he had on his God, to realize that if the ultimate came and he did actually slay his son, he believed that God could raise him from the dead. And it's a portrait really of what happened with Jesus. When Jesus went a little further, as we celebrated at the weekend. They suffered many things so they could indeed keep their focus upon the final goal. They were called heroes of faith. But look, we are also heroes of faith. We've not got Sinai, we've got Mount Zion. We come to a place of grace and peace and joy, and we focus on Jesus as our focus is kept upon him, so we can see him working out his purposes. If we're going to be winners of our final time on earth, we've just been singing, haven't we? We're going to go to glory one day. Well, I hope it's not too soon, because I want to see quite a lot of things go, and I want to see things. The joy that I got on Sunday afternoon when I saw all those people in under the sound of the gospel. This old heart was beating really fast, thinking, well, what a privilege it was to present to them something that they'd probably never seen before. In fact, one or two was quite took back. Talked to a couple of them, they said, it was very good, wasn't it? I said, well, that's us. We didn't put a show on for them, but we did show them Jesus. And we need to keep our focus upon the Lord himself. Not on what others are doing, not what someone else is doing. We've got to focus on what the Lord wants us to do. As a family, we join together. We're knitted together. I spoke about the oneness of the family of God. We're knitted together. You doing your job, me doing mine. You doing your playing your part in the building of the kingdom here. Listen, if you don't do it, someone else has got to do it. Yeah. And it's second hand then. It isn't the best. It isn't what God wants. God wants you doing it because only you can do the work that he's called you to do. Only you can do that the way he wants it doing. I can probably do it, but it won't be done as well as what you do it. You might say, yeah, but you're better at it than me. Not in the Lord's eyes, I'm not. Because he sees you doing the job that he's called you to do. And keep your focus on Jesus. These scripture talked about the disciples. When they'd been before the council, it said they took note that they had been with Jesus. Wonder if people take note of you. What do they see? Would they see somebody that portrays the character and the things that Jesus would, so that Jesus can be seen in you? They took note they'd been with Jesus. The other day we had a word from Pastor, and he talked about not looking back. And that's why we've got to keep our focus on Jesus, is that we don't look back at what's behind or what's gone. We don't allow the enemy to use those things that were in the past to bring about our future, or play around with our future. Our future is not on what we've done. It's on what Jesus has done and what he's going to be prepared to do. So we need to be focused on the final goal. I know when I ran the London Marathon, I wasn't going to win it. There was no chance. There's no one who won it, ran it in an hour and a half quicker than me. So I had no chance. But my focus wasn't on winning. My focus was getting over the finishing line. And that's the same with us. And if we keep our eyes upon Jesus, the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Endurance is a necessity. If you're going to be a good finisher, we need to endure. We need to be people that will go against the tide. Pastor spoke a few weeks ago about paddling against the tide. Let me say to you, it isn't easy sometimes being a Christian. And Jesus said it wouldn't be. He said they didn't accept me, so they won't accept you. They didn't love me, so they won't love you. The world is against us. All the powers of darkness are against us. But we need to endure to the end. You don't accomplish anything if you're not prepared to endure. If the first time you come against a difficulty in whatever you're doing, if you give up, well, you don't accomplish anything. You saw the balloons on that round ring there. Took me about 20 minutes to find out how to fix them balloons to that. I was using sticky paper and sticking it on all sorts. And suddenly my mind twigged. And all I did was wrap them around one another. Interwoven around. But if I hadn't endured, if I'd have given up, they wouldn't have happened. And let me say to you, God wants you to be those that will endure. Those who are prepared to endure and not clutter their lives with unnecessary things. So easy, isn't it, to be drawn away. I had to make decisions over the last few months. I like bowling. But they want me to do it on Sunday. I said, no way. I can't do it Sunday. Can't do it Monday, because I'm working at church. Can't do it Tuesday, because I'm doing so. Wednesday, I can do it Wednesday morning, but I can't do it in the afternoon. Because we've got to get our priorities right, so that we can endure through the situation and see that we come out as God wants us to be. And we don't not clutter our lives with the things of the world. When I used to go training with running, you'd have thought, what's he doing now? Two tops, or sometimes three if it was cold, an anorak, a balaclava in the winter, gloves, two jogging bottoms, and I used to be completely covered because I hated being cold. I hated that cold wind blowing on you. And so if you saw me running in the winter, the only bit you would see would be this bit. Pardon? I went past Rothwell's bungalow one day and I waved to her and I think she thought, wonder who that bloke is. There's no way she recognised. But don't clutter your lives with things that are not necessary. Keep your endurance and do the things that God wants you to do. But when I ran the London Marathon, that was a different matter. I'd endured all the training so I could accomplish that which I'd set my mind to. And let me say, if you will set your mind to doing the things of God and endure through those times of difficulties, look beyond them. Like we say, put your focus on Jesus himself. You will find that the troubles are dealt with by the troubleshooter, the man that's able to deal with them, the one that's able to bring you through. Yeah, difficulties may come. You listen to what that Pastor Andrew spoke on Sunday, I think it was, about, he's put something on the website today about difficulties may come. Christian pathway is not an easy pathway, but it's one that we have to endure and come through with if we're going to come out there and be good finishers. Too many of us are prepared to carry things that we don't need, carry things that are not necessary, be involved in things that take our time, which we should be given into the work of God. Make priorities in your life, then endure to continue to keep them going and keep them and prepare to do them. So to endure or to take on the task that we have, we'll need to make sure that we have nothing that will hold us back. No turning back. We talked about Lot's wife. She looked back. She wanted to be back in Sodom. So God, because she looked back, she became a pillar of salt, which was worthless to anybody anyway. And our lives are not lives to be lived to be worthless and without anything to them. Our lives are to live for the Lord as such that we will indeed portray Jesus in such a way that we will show to others the Lord Jesus himself. We need to have the bare minimum or have in our lives those things that that would not affect our finishing. Though hard we have enjoyed, or I enjoyed training. I enjoyed it. I used to go half past seven on a morning, and one morning, it was one spring morning, I heard this awful noise as I was running around the nature reserve at Thorpe Marsh, and it was a swan getting up off the pond. And I could hear the noise of its wings. It was like a woof, woof. And it was a misty morning. So I was thinking, wow, what's going on here? It frightened me a little bit. But let me tell you, there's no fear in love. No. If we will endure through the things that we have to go through, the difficulties that we face, the trials that come our way, they're not there to break you. They're there to make you. Make you into the person that God wants you to be. Make you into the one that will endure and come through into victory. Our Christian race must be the same as we must lay it as we have people that train to do certain things. Someone brought a trainer in tonight. I said, oh, we aren't having physical training classes, are we? But, yeah, I knew what it was coming, but let me tell you, if you will endure through the difficulties, you'll find there's one that will take you through. He'll take you through in 22. Hallelujah. And I'm so pleased that the Lord just dropped that in my heart at the beginning of this year. And it might be hard, but the training was hard. I used to do 60 miles a week. My wife used to say, all I do is see a pair of trainers going out the end of the street and coming back in, a bath, laid down. That's what used to be the thing. But let me say to you, though you might have to endure, you don't have to endure alone. You've got your Lord with you. You've got the church, you've got your brothers and sisters alongside you to help you through and to comfort and strengthen you when you need it to be so. We've a race to run. The Hebrews 2 says, run with endurance the race that's set before you. Run with endurance. Don't just pretend. When I looked around Greenwich Park that morning of the London Marathon, let me say to you, I could see the people there that wouldn't make it. They got their names on the list, but they hadn't done the work that's needed to do the final thing. And we are the same. Our names are written in heaven. Praise God. But we've got a work to do down here, and it's going to take endurance to complete the work that he has for us so that we can finish well. Verse 3 in Hebrews 12, it says this. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed. We have endured. We have gone through the thick and thin. But the Lord makes sure that it's thus far and no further. The Lord will take you through. He'll bring you out to the other side. Don't be ensnared, but be free. Don't let the things that try to come into that hold you back, but endure through and come through for the Lord himself. Because you are sons and daughters of God, you've got the freedom and the liberty that belongs to you. That which God has given you, He's given it to you. Jesus, he said of Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy. There's no joy in the cross as far as I can see. It was the most cruel punishment that man had ever devised. And in fact, the Roman Empire banned it in about the 3rd century AD because it was so cruel. But let me say to you is that we will not go through anything that Jesus hasn't gone through. You will not face anything that Jesus didn't face. So we can, as we endure, we know we've got one that can take us and carry us through. Don't be ensnared by the things of this world, but be freed from them so you can be freed into the things of God himself. And the other thing is that we need to be dedicated to detail. Amen. You look at the life of Jesus. At no time in his life was he ever out of control. No time in his life was he ever in a position where he didn't know what was going on. You can look at you and right through. I love it when they went to see him in the garden. He says, I am. He said, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus. He says, I am. And they all fell back because he suddenly said, I'm God. It was one of the names of God. When we look at Jesus, we see a pattern in him he wants us to follow. Verse 3, he suffered greatly than we will ever will. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And who's the joy? You and I are the joy. And as we endure, as we come through with God, as we keep our focus right, so we too will cause him joy. We can see the fulfillment of what he did in being fulfilled in each one of us. Because we do these things so that we can be well and we can finish our course. I finished the London Marathon. I had difficulties on the way, but I finished it. At one bit I said to the man that I was running with, you carry on. We're only 3.5 miles now from home, and I'll come in on my hands and knees if I have to. We had to endure. Amen. I got through that difficulty, and it took me a long time to get through it, but I got through it. And let me say, and it's the same with my spiritual life, I have to endure to get through. And it means that I need to be dedicated to detail. I have to make sure that I don't allow things in my life that would hold me back. Don't allow things to come up into my life that will stop me doing that which God has called me to do. I want to be a good finisher. But the only way I can do that is to keep my focus right. To endure and then be dedicated to the detail that it says in this word. Here's our guidebook. I'd love to write a book called The Loneliness of a Christian or a Leader. Because there's one about called The Loneliness of a Long Distance Runner. And I've not read it, but I've heard of it. But let me tell you, you're never alone. Don't believe the enemy to tell you that it's only you. It's you like this. You're never alone. The Lord is always with you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And it says he will quicken your mortal body. He will give you the strength you need. Some of you are suffering from what they call long COVID, where you feel so whacked out after a short period of time. Let me tell you, God can deal with long COVID. And he can deal with it in such a way, give you endurance. Hallelujah. We need to be dedicated to the Lord and to his word. This is the thing that's going to bring us through. This is going to keep our focus right. This is going to continue to help us to endure. It's going to also make sure that it gives us the detail that we need to make sure that we're walking the pathway that the Lord has for us. In here is all that we need. Don't need anything else. It's all in here. Pastor said, often said it's our guidebook. It's more than that. It's the one that gives us the strength we need. It's one that gives us, it doesn't tell us just, how you can do it. Because that's what my books usually do. They show you how you can do it. He's saying, how are you not doing that? This word says, listen, look and see how I can do it through you. And the Lord wants you to know, to make sure that we get ourselves, get the right things in our lives dedicated to Him. All that we need is in Jesus. Nothing we need is outside of His Word or outside of Jesus. That's why we've got to keep our focus on Him. We've got to endure to the end. We've got to be dedicated to detail. And as you focus and you are dedicated, the Lord will do those things that He said He would be. I got taken up the other day with the 23rd Psalm again. The Lord's my shepherd. I know I'd picked it up from what Andrew put on the Good Shepherd. But I don't know whether it was with yours, but SH was missing on mine because it had the little ring with the arrow on saying press here. So it was a good herd. And I thought, yeah, we've got one that loves us so much. He was prepared to give His all. We ought to be the same. And make sure that we keep our lives right by making sure that we are dedicated to detail. Amen. So easy, isn't it, to say, oh, well, it's okay. It's all right. Won't do any harm. But let me tell you, the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things in our lives that we need to watch, because they can actually draw us away from the Lord Himself. Romans 8:29. I love this scripture. It's probably since I really cotton on to it. I've seen it there before, but no one seemed to go past Romans 8:28. But 29 says, I foreknew you. Then other scriptures say He knew us before the foundation of the world. So He knew all about us. I foreknew you, and I predestined you. I planned for you. I wonder what I was going happening during the war when I was evacuated. Some of the places that we lived in were awful. So a little boy, I went away. But let me tell you, He knew me then.
He did.
I should not have lived at birth. He knew me then. I should have died during the war 2 or 3 times. But He knew me then.
Yeah.
Gave me His protection. He knows all about you.
Amen.
He knows your name, as Pastor said just a few days ago. He knows your name. He knows where you live. And He's always working to your benefit. And then He says, He's conformed you. Otherwise, He's allowing certain things into my life that will make me more like Jesus. Make me to show forth Jesus. When the world that you live in and you walk in and you talk in, the people you meet, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. What do they see when they see you? Do they see someone different? Or do they see just somebody ordinary, just like everybody else? We're not like everybody else. We're born again of the Spirit of God. We're children of God. We're the recipients of His love. And that should flow out from us into others. And I foreknew you. The Father's work in us is to bring us to the condition where we keep our focus right. We endure. And then we're dedicated to detail so that we can be a good finisher. One day we're going to meet Jesus. And we're going to be like Him. Bless Him. But until that day, we need to make sure that we are going, doing the things that He wants us to do. He's required of us to do, so that we can indeed bring about His purposes in our lives, through our lives into our church, and through our church into the community. He's called us to serve. God bless you.
Praise God. You know, whilst David was just sharing tremendous
thoughts there as well to remind us how much God has done for us, doing for us, going to do for us. And even through trials, tribulations, He'll be there. He never left Daniel in the Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He was there. He was with them. And so he's there all the time. And I think it was this morning when I was meditating on my bed. That's where I was. I was meditating this morning when I wrote. And one thought that came to me was, are we going to be good finishers? You know, and I began to think of people that over the years made a good start, but in the end they didn't make a good finish. It's okay making a good start and saying, you know, I was there right at the beginning of it. Are you going to be there right at the end of it? You know, because he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So, all right, now that's fine. Hey, praise God. You know, we're just working together by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And I didn't know what he was going to preach on. None of us share what we're going to preach on. We don't even, you know, we keep it to ourselves just in case, you know, they steal our message before we get up, isn't it? You know, and then they already go and do it. The Holy Spirit does it, sets the stage, sets it up ready for us. But you know, I was sort of thinking of people that I knew that had made a start, and people that have had prophetic words given to them about what they were going to achieve with God. Shut up a minute. I looked and I saw people who had not finished. The promises, the prophetic words that were given over them had not come to pass. Whose fault was that? Certainly wasn't God. I mean, we'll clarify it a little bit more. If it was a true prophetic word, right, and not just somebody saying some nice things just to encourage you, but an absolute true word from God through this prophet, then if it's not being finished off, then the fault is with the person who was given it, because they've not taken that word, they've not cherished that word, and they've not made that decision that no matter what, say that again. No matter what comes at me, I am going to finish. I am going to be. I'm going to do what God said I would do with His help. Yeah? With His help. You know, we don't do it on our own, but we have to link in with God. Say, I'm going to do this. Now, the devil says, no, you won't. You're not capable. You don't have the academia to do it. You don't have the strength to do it. You don't have the nous to do it. Whatever. He brings something into you that will bring a seed of doubt. And then it's like, and if you take that on board, that seed of doubt begins to grow. Now, every one of you and me, we need to dig out seeds of doubt. Dig them out. Yeah. And don't just throw them to one side. Burn them. Yeah. By burning them, they're destroyed. Put them in the fire, God's fire, and let them burn. So that they'll never return again. You see, God did not sow seeds of doubt. God's intention for Adam and Eve was to rule and reign the earth. They were told to subdue the earth, to keep it in order. But that seed of doubt, did God say? And the devil tries it, the same trick, every time. It doesn't have any new tricks with you. You know, Are you sure you've got, are you sure you're called to do this ministry? Are you sure you're able to do this? You know, you didn't do very well at school and da da da, and so it goes on. You didn't get in the GCSEs, you didn't get in the CSEs. No, that's right, I didn't. We need God inside us.
Amen.
We need the Spirit of God moving us forward. It's not how many O-levels or how many degrees you've got. You know, some churches, they've got a vicar and he's got 3 degrees and that's about the temperature of the church. You know, I mean, come on. You know. It's not about knowledge. It's about relationship. You see, it's about this relationship with God, and then it flows out from you. And God makes a place for you. God makes a place and a way for you that no man can shut the door off. So no matter what's happening, I mean, I was told a number of times that we were not going to get this building. And I tell you what, that was not a seed of doubt. That was a truckload of doubt that came. And it was dumped at my door. And I'm like, you know. And I had to shovel it away. Seriously, I had to shovel this doubt away because it's like, you know, I've been hanging on for 24 years. I need to shovel this away because if I don't, I'm going to lose. And I don't like losing. I'm a bit competitive at times. And you know, we've got to just push and say this, you know, God said, you know, I don't feel worthy, but God said. I don't feel capable, but God said. I don't feel I have the ability, but God said. You know, when we've been out on missions work and I felt absolutely, totally out of my depth. I remember when we got to Africa and there's about 1,500 to 2,000 people in the church. And you know, Grace leans over to me and she says, "I'm glad you're preaching this morning." I thought that really, you know, just go on, you know, that really gives you a boost, doesn't it? You know, and I'm like, wow. And I turned around and looked and I thought, ooh, you know, there's this great big balcony that's going on, like an half moon circling there. And I'm thinking, Lord. And then the Lord said to me, just trust me. And then all I did, I just began to speak to 2 or 3 people in the congregation. I let everybody else listen. I just began to minister. And then the Spirit just began to move in you, and you then that confidence in God, that trust in God rises up, and you just press in. Hallelujah. Bless him, you know. My father at the moment is still in hospital. And when we were in the other church, my father used to come to church, and he didn't always agree with what I preached. I could tell. He didn't ever say anything to me, but I knew. He'd sit on the front row. In fact, we once had, for a while, we had the chairs in a bit of a semicircle. He would sit so that literally everybody could see his face. And I made a decision. I'm not going to be fazed at all. I am doing what I feel the Spirit of God is saying to do. And whether you like it or not, swallow it. Because that's what it's going to be. And I said, you know, I said, I don't care where I have to preach. If I can preach in front of my dad when he looks like he looks, then I can preach anywhere. Bless him. You know, I mean, I love him, don't get me wrong. But it was one of those, it was that time. And he was like, you know, I mean, he was showing me his disgust. Bless him. And I think only ever once has he ever said, "You preach well today, son." Yeah. once. I remember it once. Praise God. Well, if that's, you know, that's better than none. Hallelujah. But you see, I'm looking for the Heavenly Father's approval. Not man's approval. And so we need, you know, it was, I read in that scripture, we're surrounded by such a great host of witnesses. And they're calling your name.
Come on.
You know, you see the films where you've got the the spectators, yeah, you know, where they're running with chariots around them, that, you know, and everything, and in the sports arena there, and everybody's shouting the name, they're willing them on, aren't they? They're willing you on.
Amen.
They're willing you on.
Amen.
They know your name. And if we let Christ be in that very centre of our lives and just focus on Him and say, you know, come on. And I'm just going to let His energy, His word, His power flow through me. I'm going to do this because God has a promise. God has given me promises, and God is not a man that He should lie. And you need to revitalize those promises. You need to go back to those promises. You need to take hold of those promises, and you need to begin to breathe life into them from the Word of God and by the Spirit. And you then need to begin to start to move towards them, because these things do not happen like abracadabra and that's it. It's called preparation.
Yeah.
Moses, 40 years in the wilderness. Joshua, 40 years training underneath, wandering around another wilderness. Elijah, Elisha, training. What for? Training for reigning. Training for victory. The disciples spent time, 3 solid years with Jesus. Crash course. Training for reigning. Training to establish the church. Training to establish the new covenant. Wow. They did not have the New Testament that we have to fall back on. They had to fall back on spiritual relationship with God. That was something else that God spoke to me. He said, you know, it's about this relationship in the Spirit that we need to develop as well as. So, okay, it's great. I mean, I keep saying to people, bring your Bible. Bring your Bible. You can write in it, underline it, highlight it. Make it yours. Make it personal. But at the same time, you have to make this spiritual, it's a spiritual journey. You have to make this spiritual journey personal with God.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you make things happen in God. You and God together make things happen. When God created the earth, it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And together, they made things happen. There's a diamond out there, 900 light years away. I mean, can you imagine if that thing was any closer? We'd be up there with satellites and gigapics, wouldn't we? I mean, the diamond market would crash. You know, I mean, they'd be wearing diamonds around the necklaces because there'd be that many of them. Wouldn't they? You know, I mean, can you just imagine that? You know, they're up there with gigabits in a space suit. See my imagination? See how it goes? You know? But in that sense, we've got to go with God. What seems impossible is possible with God. And don't look back at your life and say, well, if I was younger, my God. That's, you know, He shall renew your youth like the eagles. So it's not about how old you are, it's about how willing you are.
Amen. That's it.
How willing are we?
Yeah.
How are we going to push through? Are we going to be like these men of faith? these women of faith. They just did it. And guess what? The Old Testament ones, they didn't have a Bible neither. But do you know what they did have? Absolutely. Relationship with the Father. You see, and this is not to put down the Bible, because you know I'm solid on it, because it just tells us the things that have been happening and going to happen, and it's so important to us to encourage us. But that is to help us to come to a relationship. See, God does not want you to hear Him second hand. Rob, Sunday, was it? You said to me, Sunday was the first time you heard God's voice. How long have you been journeying? And I'm not. This is not a negative, by the way.
10 years.
You know, this is not trying to be negative. But God wants you to hear His voice. And sometimes it's a case of, you need to be encouraged. Hey, you know, listen. This is so, and I try and share how things happen to me, because then it gives people, do you know something? I think I might have heard God sometime before, but, and so you begin to listen more, be more alert for what God wants to do and teach you and show you, because God wants this one-to-one relationship. You know, that you will know His power, His presence, and His, and then we walk, we're like with these men and women of faith. We walk in these tracks, we see victory, we walk by faith, and we see results by faith. And we see God doing great things. But the promises that God has given to you, you have to continue journeying. I don't care what age you're at. I don't even care what your health is like. Ooh, yeah, but Andrew, you know. No. Because God is able to touch, heal, and restore.
Amen.
Otherwise, if not, we are just saying, well, God can't do this. He can. But you've got to walk away from that sickness, that disease. You've got to walk away from that unbelief. You've got to walk away from that thing and say, I'm going to do this. And you're going to start doing it.
Amen.
Yeah, but the doctor says I can't do this. Do you know something? I didn't realize until just a few days ago. I think it started with when I got COVID. I forgot to take my blood pressure tablets. And I think whilst after COVID, it left me with this mental block. And I haven't taken blood pressure tablets now for 6 weeks or more. And I check my blood pressure on the morning, and it's like, perfect. I'm like, I don't need them. Now the doctor said, I'll never come off them. I didn't want to go on one in the first place anyway. The only reason I went on them is because I had to have an operation for a stupid hernia through a motorbike. And he said, well, it's slightly high, and they might not operate if your blood pressure's high, so you'll have to go on them. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm coming off them. And it's happened. And I'm like, hey.
Very cool.
When I look, yes, all right. I mean, when I look at what it says about what can go wrong, you know, what damage that, you know, because they always want to, every 12 months they want to check your blood because of your kidneys, because they can affect your kidneys. And I'm like, oh. I remember once being severely, went through a situation that brought horrendous depression on me. I couldn't go to work for about 6 weeks. And the doctor put me on pills to help me sleep, because I couldn't sleep. Well, I took these pills and I still couldn't sleep. I was even awake during daytime. I just weren't getting any sleep. And after a few days, I thought, stuff it. So I took these pills and took them to the toilet. Toilet didn't sleep neither, but I flushed them. I said, no, I'm going to trust God. God is going to deal and going to bring me through. But at that point in time, that was a time, as I look back now and I realize what was going off, that was a time when Satan was about to try and crush me and to break me, because I won't be here now doing what I'm doing. You see, I was still working in industry. And if it had crushed me at that point, I would have not answered the call to leave. And so, you know, sometimes you just have to trust God and come through. And God will make a way where there is no way. But it's holding tight onto His hand, holding on Him and pressing through. And you will see God moving in power. And the more you trust Him, the more you get peace. But I tell you, I'm going to say this again. The promises, the prophecies that God has given to you,
yeah,
get a move on with them.
Amen.
Get a move on with them. Get back into them, pray into them, and begin, you know, maybe God's brought you here for that purpose. So that those words that you've been given can come to fruition. You see, we don't hold ministry down. We're here to build ministry up. We know that we're going to see many, many people ministering and breaking the back of Satan's ways. And we're going to see people being restored and anointed and filled with the Spirit and ministry just pushing out. There are many places looking and needing the light of the gospel and the power of the gospel to be released into their lives and into church life.
Yeah.
We need to be getting ourselves ready.
Yeah.
And we might only be going into places and just planting the seed. It might be that we go in and do some support work and come out, you know, missions work. Glory to God. Cuba's waiting for you.
Yeah.
Burundi's waiting for you. Romania is waiting for you.
Yeah.
And there's more to come. Are you going to get ready?
Yeah.
Are you going to work on what God's given you?
Yeah.
Because that's what it means. I mean, this should be preached to the whole congregation. I mean, it's only for Wednesday night tonight, you know. Not everybody's here, but run with it, folk. Run with it. And see God moving. If God has given you a destiny and a purpose, God wants you to fulfill it. God has given you a prophecy, God wants you to fulfill it. You know? Believe it in Jesus' name. Amen.